All right.
All right. So I'm going to talk just for a few minutes tonight, really about the cross. And we can see the cross so many different kind of places today as we look around. People wear it as jewelry. It's displayed in homes and churches in different places. But there are many different views and thoughts about the cross. And it's a visual. It's a representation. But what I want us to do tonight is try to make the cross hit a little deeper, just more than just something we see and that we think about on Good Friday or that's worn, but something that really hits. And I think we're going to look at it tonight kind of in three ways that I think will make it hit a little bit more. It's kind of like, I would call it the three D's of the cross, or the cross in 3D. We're going to look at the cross as a debt, a death, and a decision. So as we kind of dive into this, the other side of your sheet, we're going to get to a passage here in just a few minutes. It's on there if you want to follow along when we get there. But I'll talk quickly, how do we get to the cross? How do we get to today? So during Holy Week, Jesus has had the Last Supper with his disciples. He sat in the upper room. They've taken that Last Supper together. He's gone to the garden to pray. He's gone away. Judas has come back, betrayed him. He's been arrested. He's gone through his trial. It's all been unfair. He's been convicted. He's been beaten. He's been mocked. And he's had to carry his cross himself up to the hill where he is put up on it and set to die. And that's where we're going to pick it up. So I'm going to read this now. Luke 23, 44 through 49. It was about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. We'll stop there. So he's been nailed up to the cross. And when we think about it, the first thing that I want us to think about, that the cross signifies a debt. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Our debt is sin, and we all carry this debt in some way. And this is what really, it separates us from God. This is our barrier from him. It's behavior, the things in our lives that don't honor or please God. And it's not stuff we all like to think about or that's really happy to think about, but it is what separates us from God. And this debt, just like any other debt, has to get paid. Think about it like getting yourself back to good standing. Many of us have debts. If you own your home, you may have a debt of a mortgage, and that feels insurmountable sometimes because it's huge. A car, you might have a car debt or a loan. Someone that you just owe because they have done something for you. You feel like you're in debt. And debt can feel like a weight. It can feel like a burden, and you just want to get it lifted, right? There's all these talks and different people that talk about getting yourself to being debt free. Now think about a debt that you are incapable of paying. No matter what you do, it's just not enough, right? You can't save enough. You can't pay enough. You can't charm anybody enough to get out of it. You can't refinance this debt. That's what this debt on the cross was like. Our sin was like this. It's a big debt, and we on our own are unable to pay it. So I think as we look at the cross, it signifies this debt that we were unable to pay on our own. But then it's also a death. Colossians 3:13-15 says, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He's taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." We were dead in our sin. The debt, it was too much. And this is eternal death, and a death that keeps us away from God forever. But that debt got paid. But it didn't happen from something we did. It wasn't paid by us. It's the most massive debt that was cleared. Imagine the response you would have if you get that letter someday and somebody paid off your mortgage or paid off that car loan that you had. There's stories out there. Some of my favorites are like, there'd be people in communities that hear about the school lunch debt, that kids have negative accounts on their lunch balances, so they'll just pay it all off. So they'll just pay it for somebody else. Someone goes out of their way and pays the debt for somebody else, and they took it on themselves. That is what the cross also represents. Jesus took it on himself. He nailed it to the cross and paid it off in death. Someone that had no sin, had no blemish, had no debt of his own, paid it. This wasn't somebody that got up there and said, well, you know, I'm in debt up to my eyeballs too. I'm going to pay a chunk of mine. I'll take yours while I'm at it. That's not how this works. He didn't owe, and that's how he was able to pay. So we are he's completely clean from sin and took our sin and died for us. That death on the cross, it canceled our debt. Our debt was canceled in his death. So now what? The third D. We make a decision. And I think there's two parts of this decision that I like to think about. First one, I'm going to read from Acts 2:38. It says, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this is part of Peter's sermon after the Holy Spirit has come at Pentecost. And he tells everybody what to do, the decision they should make. And he says, repent and ask for forgiveness and go towards God. I've talked about this before, but I like thinking about repentance not as a stop sign, but as a U-turn. We don't just stop the behavior that keeps us from God. We actually turn around and work back towards God. It's a U-turn. Because we kind of know this works. If we just stop, eventually we start moving again. And if we haven't started going back towards God, temptation in the easy way is right back into the behavior that we don't want to have, or the behavior that separates us from God. So we want to turn around and go that other direction, right? We've all had to make U-turns in our lives. I was in high school, and in all our, this is before fancy smartphones and good GPS like that. My buddy and I were supposed to drive to a suburb of Chicago to visit a friend. And we get going on the road, and we wrote down the directions word for word from what our buddy told us on the phone. And we get going, and all of a sudden, like, this just doesn't seem right. Like, I don't think we're getting closer. So we pull over at a gas station, only to find out we literally had gone 45 minutes in the exact wrong direction. We should have gone south. We ended up going north. How? I don't know. I still don't figure out how that one happened. But we had to make a U-turn. If we had just stopped, we're going to go that same way. We had to actually go back the other direction. So that first decision we make is to repent and ask for forgiveness. And the second part, I think, that comes with that is accept that God loves you enough to do this for you. Accept that God loves you enough to take this all on for you. As I was writing this, and maybe you're kind of like this tonight, thinking about the mistakes I've made, the blemishes, the screw-ups, all that kind of stuff. And it's hard to think about that. And the temptation could be to think, oh, God can't love me because of that. There's no way. I'm too much of a mess. Or, you know, maybe he loved me before, but then I screwed up in the same way three or four different times. He can't love me anymore because of that. But he does. He really does. 1 John 4:9 says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. God loved us enough to send his only son to die for us so that he could have us back. He did that full knowing we're going to make mistakes. He did that knowing we're broken people. He did that knowing we're imperfect and that we're going to keep making mistakes, but he still loves us. He wants us to turn from all the stuff in our lives that keeps us from him and come back to him, but he still loves us. I don't know if you ever heard stories about what death on the cross was really like. It was absolutely brutal and torturous. And some people think about the cross just that way. But the cross is also this ultimate act of love and grace from a Father that loves us and will never stop loving us. So make the decision to accept that God loves you that much. Make the decision to repent. Bring that all together. So let the cross hit you in that way. The fact that it was a debt that we all had. But it's a debt that in the death of Jesus, which is what happens here on Good Friday, it was paid off. And then make that decision to repent for whatever is going on in your life that you need to repent for. And then accept that God loves you that much.